B-Pod Studios.
Tom, our friend from ESPN, Adam Schefter, on the line with us. Good morning, Adam.
Mark and Bobby, got me?
Yeah, we got you now, my friend. We got you
there
now.
There he is.
Good morning, sir. How's everything going? How you holding up with all the stuff going on still?
Well, we are about to head into what all doctors, scientists, experts believe is going to be the two worst weeks of this.
Yeah.
And so I hope that everybody stays inside, limits their contact to people, washes their hands, does all the things everybody's been saying to do all along. Here we are. And again, I think that's what alarmed me a couple of weeks back when it was the opening week of free agency in the NFL. I got to Saturday and I sat down. I was reading the New York Times and they were looking at these. They had put out models, and I sent it out to a few people, models of how this virus would track over time. And when it seemed bleak in March, like March 20th, 21st, 22nd, 10 or so days ago, what I said to my friends was, we haven't even scratched the surface of this thing yet. We hadn't even scratched the surface. And, you know, when you look at it right now and everything that's going on, I mean, it's just, it's mind-blowing. You think about this. The Vietnam War went on for 9 years and killed more than 58,000 Americans. This virus is going to do that in the next couple of months. And then some.
Seeing the numbers and if we've been doing our due diligence, we've been following it and what's going on in New York and New Jersey right now. A lot of people are saying, you know, that's just the start, unfortunately. And I'm proud to see other establishments, other structures dedicating their space. Lee Corps Center in Philadelphia on Temple's campus dedicating their space to hospitals in Philadelphia to make sure that they can withstand overflow if that's what it comes to. And as the projections you just alluded to, that's what it looks like. And you're talking about the projections being made by Dr. Fauci. You heard the other day, 100,000 to 200,000. Then yesterday, you hear 100,000 to 240,000, and you just don't know. And it really is in our hands at this point about, you know, keeping the social distance going, being cautious about when you have to go out, going out when you really have to go out, and limiting that kind of contact with other human beings. So I'm hoping that's something we could take a lot more seriously in the coming weeks to help flatten that curve as fast as humanly possible. As far, Adam, as an effect on sports, one of the ideas that has come out, and the NBA has embraced this in terms of possibly moving to a neutral site, whether that be Las Vegas or Atlantic City, a theory has come out about the NFL. If it comes down to it, if we do go into a period that is longer than we originally anticipated as far as how much we're going to be withstanding this at its worst point, and the NFL the start of the NFL season is affected, training camps affected, whatever it might be,
mm-hmm.
What do you think the NFL ends up doing in terms of the season and it starting on time, if it can?
Well, right now the NFL is talking as if it's going to start the season on time, and that's great. I think that's something that everybody would love. I don't know how anybody could say that right now. We just don't know. And so I had Dr. Tom Mayer, the medical director from the NFLPA, on my podcast this week, and he was excellent, by the way. I don't just say that, but he was optimistic, I would say cautiously optimistic, that there will be a season, but even he says we're not going to know more until late May, early June. Late May, early June. So that means all of April and basically all of May. We've got 2 months to see whether we as a society do the right things. Maybe it's too late already. I don't know. Maybe the virus, see how that tracks, grows, wallops our world, and then make an assessment then of where we're at and what form that could take with the league starting on time or not. Honestly, I have no idea. I mean, nobody does. I would just say this: today in this world that we're living on April 1st, 2020, it's hard to imagine a stadium full of 70,000 screaming fans on top of each other.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine that today. That doesn't mean it can't be that way September 1, but it doesn't seem plausible in my mind right now.
Do you think, Adam, that they would entertain the idea of a neutral site? That theory's been put out there.
Yeah. Look, you know, we're way early on this, but I would say that they're going to be entertaining a lot of different theories. Neutral site, games without fans. I mean, nobody knows what form this is going to take going forward, other than it's hard to imagine the exact form that we had at the Super Bowl in Miami in early February taking place again. Like, do you see that happening?
I
hope it does. I really do. It'd be great.
Yeah.
It would mean that we've conquered this virus and we've gotten a hold of it and maybe developed a vaccine and maybe slowed the spread of it and whatnot. But there's a lot of work to be done to get to that point. That's for sure.
Shefty, it looks like the draft is going to go on. And, we've talked about that, the ins and outs of it. But who benefits most and who really gets the shaft in all this when you talk about teams not being able to look at, talk to players, do physicals on players? Like, how much is this going to impact the league?
Well, what I would say, Bob, is every team is going to be at an equal disadvantage. And so what teams are going to have to do is they're going to have to rely more than ever before just on studying the tape, which in a way I'm okay with that, right? Like, what a guy did during his college career in games when it mattered against competition will be the biggest factor as to determine where that particular player will be drafted. Now, I think where it hurts certain guys or impacts, influences, whatever verb you want to choose, is the medical guys, guys with medical question marks. We don't know exactly where they're going to go, and teams can't bring them into their facilities and work them out and have their doctors examine them. But that's going to be the case for everybody. So there's going to be some guys with some medical questions that probably fall down a little bit. A guy like Tua, who's probably the biggest medical mystery in this draft, I just wonder, and I'm skeptical of, is there a team that's going to trade up for a guy like that? Whereas before, somebody might have been real aggressive. You know, are they going to, can you give up more picks to go up to get a guy like that when you don't really know for sure? Now, again, by all accounts, he's really progressing tremendously and he's further ahead than everybody thought. And you want that to continue on and hope that that continues on. But it still is a medical question mark of a certain degree. And so guys that didn't work out at the combine, thought they'd work out at their pro day, not a great help to them either. And so I guarantee you, you know, when we get back to football, whenever that is, and we look back at this draft class, like, there'll be somebody that goes in round 5 or 6 and you'll say, like, Andrea, how did that happen? Well, you know, he never visited with anybody. Teams were concerned about his injury history or his character or something like that. And the guy won't go as high as people thought. I think the guys that are going to go higher are the guys that produced in college football, which maybe is how it should be.
Speaking with Adam Schefter, ESPN, the other name that I know fans are excited about right now that seems to have a healthy flirtation with the Eagles is a name that we've asked you about before, Yannick Ngakoue. Even quoting tweets about agreeing to disagree with the Jaguars front office in getting a new deal done and trying to get out there and just get traded. And he seems like he is making quite the campaign to come to the Eagles.
Yeah.
I know you always say if there's an opportunity, Howie's making a call. He's always kicking the tires. He's always doing his due diligence. Is there any percentage you're willing to put on the idea of Yannick Ngakoue coming to Philadelphia and Philadelphia paying the price that it would take to get him?
Well, I would say this, that I don't have any doubts that Jacksonville is going to be in a position where it has to trade him. And so there are a handful of teams that could use a player. Well, everybody could use a player like that, but a handful of teams that I would expect to be interested in him. And I haven't heard Philadelphia linked him so much yet, and it would be another big expense. He's going to want a huge contract, and Philly just paid Slay. And I'd have to go look at the numbers and crunch them and see where they're at to see whether Philadelphia can make it work. I guess you could always make anything work.
That's my school of thinking as well.
Yeah, right.
But do you know off the top of your head where the Eagles are in relation to the cap? I mean, in ballpark, do we have any idea?
About $21
million. So they seemingly would be in position.
$26
million. Yeah. No, they would be in position to do something like that if they wanted to. You got to sign the draft class. There's probably going to be other guys that want to extend. I'm sure they could do that. And the question will be whether they could agree to compensation There's no way in my mind that Philadelphia is going to want to give up a one. I don't think for him. I don't think. And then Philly's two is at the back end. So I do think if and when Jacksonville trades him, and I'll have more answers on Ngakoue as we get closer to the draft for you,
sure.
For sure. But I would say that the compensation is going to be stiff. And Steve, look what they got back for Jalen Ramsey. And they're adopting the same stance with Ngakoue that they did with Ramsey. I remember Ramsey, our owner doesn't want to trade him.
Right.
And then they extracted two ones and other goodies from the Rams for Jalen Ramsey. And so I've heard the same thing about Ngakoue. And I know the Ngakoue side is, I'm never playing in Jacksonville again. So, you know, the owner could say, I don't want to trade him all he wants. The fact of the matter is, I think they're in a position where they're going to have to trade him. And will
before the season?
Oh, no, it'll get done. It'll get done draft week. Draft. It'll get done right before the draft, during the draft, whatever it may be. The draft is scheduled for Thursday, April 23rd. I would imagine that the week of Monday, April 20th, that week at some point, whether it's the 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, Ngakoue will get dealt.
But bottom line is you have not heard of the Eagles really kicking the tires quite yet. Have you heard other teams?
I have not heard that, but it doesn't mean they haven't. I mean,
I understood.
Specifically, you know, has Philadelphia been in this? And so I don't have a full and accurate answer to give you there as to whether or not they have. I think they will at some point do that. I don't know how interested they'll be. I don't know what compensation they'll be willing to give up. But I will get those answers for you at some point in time.
Shefty, we've seen Ngakoue put stuff out on the, on Twitter with Eagles, different former Eagles players, a cheesesteak. You know, he's put out there that it looks like he wants to come here. They just got this guy, Will Parks, who talks glowingly about Jim Schwartz. Yeah. I think here in Philadelphia, a lot of people are on the fence about Jim Schwartz. Like, yeah, he's good, but do we take him for granted? Is Jim Schwartz that much more respected throughout the NFL than maybe we realize here in Philadelphia?
Well, I think people look at him and like him, and I don't know that they haven't respected him before. And I don't know that he's underappreciated. I think people know what a good coach he is. By the way, with Yannick Ngakoue, he's from the Washington area, and he played at Maryland, right? So, like, Philadelphia would be pretty close by. Nice, simple train ride, car ride. However you opted to get around. So I'm sure he'd love to be back, you know, north on the eastern seaboard somewhere. Washington, I'm sure he'd love Washington too. You know, we'll see how that works out.
Come on, Shefty. Who would want to go to Washington? Come on. Yeah.
Let's hope we don't have to see that, especially Carson Wentz see that. The only other thing, Shefty, is that we're asking this general question today, just having some fun with it. Yeah. When it comes to matchups, all-time greatest match, like Bob Cooney threw out a great one, Will Chamberlain versus Shaq. In honor of this story coming about with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson possibly going against each other again and maybe having Tom Brady or Peyton Manning as a part of that, what would be an all-time matchup that you would want to see?
Well, it's funny when you were saying that, I was thinking of Peyton and Tom Brady because you'd watch that over and over and over and over again.
Sure,
all day long. But if we're taking that one and I have to move on and go somewhere else. Off the top of my head, you got me stumped here.
No worries.
I always loved watching the Steelers and Cowboys play back in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was okay. Fun.
You know, yeah. That was pretty good. I mean, I got no issues with that. I could watch that all day long. So I'll go in that direction if that's okay.
That is more than okay. Adam Schefter, thanks so much for joining us. We will make the Yannick Ngakoue question like our wide receiver coach question, where we just ask you about it every single week.
I will fully expect Yannick questions from here on out, and I will be hopefully more informative and more educated the next time we speak.
You did just fine, Adam. Thanks so much for joining us, man. As always, a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jeff. Stay appreciate safe.
See you. Bye-bye.
All right, you as well. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. When we come back, we are going to talk a little bit more, as we've opened the show with and we've talked about throughout the show, our good friend Trey Thomas and what went down yesterday. We'll get to that in a few here on 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.